You are listening to the Magnetic Marketing Marketing Secret Gold Members Only Podcast.
I want to talk about doing sales. And when you think of somebody doing a sale, what are some good reasons to do a sale and what are some bad reasons that you shouldn't do a sale?
Well, there's the million-dollar question, and it's a really good one, right? Because promotional pricing and or a sale of the century event is, like most tools, neither good or bad in itself. Right? It depends on how you use it and why you use it.
Okay.
So a hammer is a perfectly good tool to drive a nail. You're still awake in the operating room, and the doc comes in with a hammer. You may want to get up and leave, right? So the same thing is true of some version of the sale of the century. And so the wrong reasons to use them and the most dangerous reasons to use them is because you believe or you create an environment where that's the only way customers will buy from you.
Okay.
It's often people believe that because of their competition.
Okay.
And so they fall in line with what is the norm of their industry.
It's a great example of that might be furniture stores. Furniture stores.
I was about to say furniture and even more so mattress.
Okay.
Okay. So if you get sold on the idea of opening three big Jim's mattress stores, you're going to look around and you're going to quickly see that everybody who sells mattresses is selling them by sale of the century. But of course, not of the century, because there's a new one every 2 weeks.
Right.
Same thing in the car business, right?
Right.
So you say to yourself, well, that's the way this has to be done in our business. And the only thing I can do is do it cleverer. And maybe sell at even cheaper prices than everybody else.
Right.
So let's take the mattress industry, where we have a longtime member, Gardner's Mattress in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I believe one of the websites is snorelesscuddlemore.com. Or cuddlemorestoreless.com.
Okay.
I'm sure you can get there by Gardner's Mattress.
Okay.
So those two guys have a mattress store in a relatively small market surrounded by mattress stores. I forget the number now, but it's daunting. Within 10 square miles. And they are all sale of the century advertisers and marketers. Gardner's has very deliberately avoided that, but with two small exceptions that I'm going to get to.
Okay.
So they don't do it. They are selling mattresses at an average price of $8,000. They are selling all the way up to $35,000 mattresses. I have one, by the way, and it is fantastic. My joke is, I have to tell you it's fantastic because I spent $35,000 for it. They are selling by being consultants to people with chronic sleep problems. Apnea, but can't tolerate a mask. Chronic serious snoring. Chronic serious back pain, etc. They are selling by positioning themselves as experts you come to. They are selling by experience purchase. So they have, for example, the Dream Room that is basically a little hotel room in the store, and in it goes the mattress you're thinking about buying. And you and your spouse come, spend 2 hours, lie down, watch TV, take a nap, do whatever else you might feel like testing on the mattress. Before you buy it.
Okay.
And if you want to compare, they wheel one in, they wheel one out, they wheel another one in, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're heavy info-first marketers. So they are generating leads and providing them books and booklets and webinars and all of that in order to make their sale. Okay. Therefore, they are not sale of the century in their industry.
Okay.
Or surrounded by competitors who are sale of the century. Now, the two little exceptions are, once or twice a year, they run one, but it is only shown and promoted to accumulated appointment no sales.
Okay.
It's not shown to the public. And it only occurs once or twice a year. So now they have a good reason to run that sale of the century, which is they have stacked up a bunch of appointment no sale. And a goodly number of those didn't buy either mostly because of price.
Right.
So now putting a promotional pricing situation in front of them makes sense. Okay, we'll make less on the sale, but we already incurred the cost of the lead. It's laying here. The only way we're going to get money out of it is cutting our profit in half and doing a big sale. So that's a good reason to do it. And then the smart strategy is only letting those people see it. So good reasons run a sale event. We can start with that one.
Okay.
Is by some means you accumulate people who did not buy at your normal prices.
Okay.
And in a controlled environment manner, you want to harvest from them. And the only way you can harvest from them is by slashing profit and running a sale. Second reason is you have customers who buy other things from you. May or may not be in a recurring revenue subscription membership relationship with you. And you have a high-end product that they haven't bought and essentially won't buy because of its price. Periodically put that product on sale only to your customer who haven't bought it. You can set up huge harvest.
Okay.
So there's a guy in our business, either retired or deceased. I haven't checked in on him for many years, an information marketer in all the opportunity magazines and by direct mail, a guy by the name of Dean F. Duval. Capital D, small u, capital V, A-L-L. Dean had a bunch of courses. How to make money in mail order, how to make money with art, how to make money with rare coins and collectibles, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he had his master course. And, oh, and all his courses were, you know, priced in the hundreds of dollars. And he had his master course, which he showed in his catalogs and all the time, called the Mail Order Matrix. This was the treasure trove of secrets he used in his business. And it was $9,995. And hardly anybody bought it at that price. But a whole bunch of customers of the other courses wanted it. They just weren't going to spend $9,995.
Right.
And he knew it. He didn't expect anybody to. But every so often, he ran the sale of the century for some reason. I've decided to buy another classic Rolls Royce. And I'm going to let 22 of these courses go for two payments of $14.95. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
And flood of money would come in as if a dam had broke. And so this was a very purposeful way. Sell still, in his case, at a high-end price compared to his other prices, but at a deep discount from the red herring price that he had shown all along to set up a sale. A third reason to do it, now we get more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Is to bring in a bunch of new customers.
Okay.
Who are not coming to our store or to our web store or buying from us, you know, at all.
Okay.
They live in this area, but they've never been to our restaurant.
Okay. Never.
And so we are going to try and bring them in at a with very aggressive promotional pricing.
Okay.
Now, and of course, the game that is to so dazzle them that we can convert them to regular customers, clients, or patients. Going forward. So we need a excuse. So it could be our 10th anniversary. It could be celebrating our daughter getting married. Finally, thank God. We're doing a big gratitude event to the community that supported us so well during the virus lockdowns. So we need an excuse.
Okay.
And then we run this sale of the century.
Can I ask a quick question on this one to bring in a bunch of new customers? How do we do this without like cannibalizing our existing people or pissing them off, our existing customers? Any thoughts on that?
You let them have it too. You have no alternative but to let that happen in most cases. Now, the danger is that you teach the new customer to wait for the next one of these and only to buy this way, right?
Yeah.
So, A, your excuse has to be carefully chosen so it doesn't reoccur.
Okay.
The carve out of what you are doing this with. And some of this might be you're only doing it during the slowest season. Keep all your installers working. You're only doing it with select merchandise, you know, that you were able to buy from a vendor at some whiz-bang price for some whiz-bang reason. Or would you have to make it so it would not naturally reoccur?
Okay. Okay.
If I'm in the clothing store business and I just do this because it's the fall season and it's time to get fall clothes.
Right.
That's a mistake.
Right? Yeah.
Because, well, why wouldn't you do it? I'll wait now to buy spring clothes until your spring sale. So,
right.
That's your danger zone.
And that happens really fast, too. I've noticed with, like, I buy from a company that they do Christmas in July. So I plan the whole year to wait until July to buy from them. I won't buy any other time of year.
There's no doubt. Now, they may have built their whole business model that way. Okay, sure. So if we give them credit for super intelligence, they may be in the D.F. Duval business.
Okay.
Okay, and they may have engineered the whole business for this.
Okay.
However, since crediting people with super intelligence is usually not valid, it's more likely that they have screwed this up and they have trained a bunch of customers to only buy and they do Christmas in July unwittingly.
Yeah.
And now they struggle the rest of the.
Right.
But it is a way to create, bring a bunch of people in for the first time who have kind of stubbornly not come into your business.
Right.
And then have an opportunity to convert them.
Okay.
Some dentists have done this successfully with tooth whitening.
Okay.
A deeply discounted promotional price just for tooth whitening.
Okay.
And they will usually do it during wedding season.
Hmm.
And try and get the wedding party to all come in.
I gotcha.
And people will, despite the fact that they have a regular dentist, or maybe they don't. Either way, they'll come in, and the dentist is not making any money on this. And he's clogging up his office with it. But if his hygienists and staff are really good at selling, they can convert some of these people to exams, then into patients.
Okay.
So you have to be very careful with this when you do it publicly.
Okay.
Another reason to do it is cross-sell where there is back-end and or recurring revenue.
Okay.
So let's say you have a restaurant and you have a bunch of customers who only come there for dinner, but you're open all day, you do breakfast. Vice versa.
Okay.
You have a bunch of customers who only come in there for breakfast, but they never bring their spouse in for a nice dinner. You might run sale of the century, cross-sell. You might go to everybody who only comes in there for breakfast, and here's your one time only, Valentine's Day month, bring your spouse in for dinner at breakfast prices. Okay? Vice versa. And you're biting the bullet on that first sale. But there's back-end revenue because if you can get them to finally come in once and have a nice dinner and like doing that, you can get them to come back and now you have a customer coming in for dinner once a month as well as breakfast once a week, right?
Yep.
So that's a good reason to do it. And again, you're doing it in a very controlled way.
Okay.
Another good reason to do it is necessity. you didn't pay your taxes, and they're about to put a lock on the door or some variation thereof.
Right.
And you need a cash flow surge, and you need it right the hell now.
Right.
Now, you have got to understand that you are buying present dollars either at a deep discount, sacrificing profit, or present dollars for future service costs later.
Right.
And you got to understand that's what you're doing. But it is a legitimate reason, if you will, do it. Like, I've always joked with my subscribers and members, quote, unquote, sending the bill to the herd.
Right.
And I have taught it. You know, one of the reasons to have a great customer list with whom you have great relationship is if you have a sudden need for money, and you have the capability to write a sales letter. Sales letter is really the bill. And you can send the bill to the herd. So I've always joked that if the trainer calls up and says, "Found this great racehorse, I think you're going to want him. He's $100,000. Do you want to buy him?" I will say, "Sure," because I'm not going to spend any of my own money. And I will then invent something that I can send a bill for to the herd. And so I got divorced and we made it known because we had to, because it was part of the business. I didn't have a choice about transparency. I would have been transparent anyway, but I didn't have a choice. I got faxes from longtime members. Yes, I assume you're going to be sending a bill for this to the herd. How bad was the settlement? Right? So, like, they knew, right?
Right.
That this is how it works. And I did. I did a, as you all know by now, I've got the divorce and I've written a big check. And so, once and one time only, here's my quote, sale of the century. here's my opportunity for you that I'm only going to do once and I'll never do again. And it's at this price, which is a hell of a lot less than you would normally expect it to be. And only X number of people can get it at this price, because that will take care of the check I just wrote. And the race is on. And my customer paid for my divorce now.
There you go.
Hey, if we tell that story, I always want to put the end on it, which is Carl and I are remarried. So my third wife is my second wife.
Okay.
And so ultimately, the third time around, I got it right. I married Rich.
<What'd> you... That's good. I like that. That's good. So just to sum up real quick, and then I want to talk about something that you brought up several times, and I don't want people to miss it. So the good reasons to do a sale: one, accumulate people who didn't buy yet, do a controlled sale to them. Two, you have customers who buy other stuff, but you want to offer them a higher ticket thing like Mr. Duval. Three, you want to bring in a bunch of new customers with aggressive promo pricing and then use this to establish a relationship. And that's where you first mentioned you got to have a reason why or an excuse that doesn't naturally reoccur. Four, you want to cross-sell existing customers to take other stuff like the lunch to dinner, dinner to lunch crowd. And then five, out of necessity, I got to sell because blank excuse. So this is the thing I want to talk about now, the reasons why I'm doing it, because now that you brought this up, that's the secret sauce. That's the thing that disconnects their brain from saying, oh, he just wants money. Oh, no, 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 no. This is the reason why he's doing it. Okay, this is why it's unique. It's not just another sale of the century. So what are some really cool things you've seen people use as reason why? Like, I know Jeff Walker did, I didn't do my tax thing the right way. Yannick Silver did his 30th birthday bash. What are some cool reasons?
So first of all, there's an old joke about the neighbor that goes over to his neighbor farmer and asks if he can borrow his tractor for the day. And the farmer says, no, because there's flooding in Thailand. And the guy says, hell, does that have to do with me borrowing your tractor? And the farmer says, but a man don't want to loan out his tractor. Any excuse is as good as any other excuse. And so any excuse can be made to work. The more it is certain not to reoccur,
okay,
the better. So we had it, I showed it in a newsletter issue, certainly in Bill's book on outrageous advertising. Pretty sure it has appeared in other OBS media when Bill Glazer still had his clothing stores. He had a sprinkler head break and it flooded part of the store. Truthfully, it didn't really ruin that much merchandise, but he had a flood. So he quickly flood sale and advertorial looking ad. It looks like a newspaper article about the local business having this flood and then having this flood sale. Clothing business. There's an insurance related joke of one New York clothing store owner walking on the beach in Florida in the winter, and he bumps into his competitor in New York, a guy right down the street, and he says, what are you doing here in Florida? Expensive vacation in the winter. And the clothing store owner says, well, good news, we had a fire. And he says, what are you doing here? Expensive. The other guy says, good news, we had a flood. and so, when Bill showed me the ad, he said, you know, good news, we had a flood. And because that provides perfect excuse for a sale without any organic, natural expectation of it reoccurring on an episodic or regular basis.
Are there any other reasons, like birthdays or my kid just,
well, I mean,
you know,
look,
got...
you can, you know, there's seasonal reasons. There's like the Christmas in July thing. I don't think they're as good, but the benefit they have is, particularly when they are really tied to the season, so like you're having your 10 days to Christmas sale, is you're connecting to top of mind. Okay. You are immediately where they are with the number one thing on their mind in the moment. The problem is it creates a, there's going to be a Christmas sale every year.
Right.
There are seasonal stuff, and there's reasons to do it that almost every business and profession, some are more advertised than others, but they actually have a day in the congressional record. There's a national ice cream day. There's a national chiropractic day. There's a national shoe day. I mean, you name it. And so you will see retailers use that. There, it's National Hot Dog Day. And so all this week, we're giving away a free hot dog to the first 50 customers every day at lunch. You open at noon, and the first 50 get a free hot dog, and everybody after that gets everything at half price, and they'll tie it to their national day.
Okay.
There, okay. A lot of businesses do a good job with Veterans Day and discounts and promotional pricing just for veterans.
Okay.
And although that reoccurs, as long as you're doing it in a business where there's significant repeat patronage, like a restaurant, all during the year, you're not doing that much damage to yourself. Like IHOP does a really good job. Every year on Veterans Day, IHOP does free breakfast for the veteran. Come in and show your card or wear your hat or whatever, and you get free breakfast. Now, first of all, most of them come with somebody. So if they come with a spouse, really what you've done is a twofer. It's a two for the price of one.
Yeah.
If you're lucky and they come with two buddies who aren't veterans, you've only discounted the booth by 33%, right?
Right.
You're not doing much damage, because if the veteran likes his breakfast at IHOP, he's got 364 other days during the year that he eats breakfast. So, I mean, it's not like he's going to wait and only nail you once a year. He's not going to do that.
Right. What about reasons like inventory clearance or scratch and dent or stuff like that?
I don't mind it. I don't mind. Again, it has its inherent danger. Hey, we've done scratch and dent in the info business.
Right.
We've done. There's 14 of these courses, and they're banged up. Some nitwit, you know, put them under a tractor in the warehouse. But if you don't mind them not having covers and having banged up notebooks and have them at this point, we've done that stuff. A lot of those decisions have to do with the size of your customer list.
Okay.
Right? Because you are cannibalizing. You are taking something you might have been able to sell at retail and selling it at, and you are planting in the mind of a customer that you may do this periodically.
Right.
So if you have 5,000 customers and you do it with 4 of this and 8 of that and 12 of this, that's one thing. If you have 500 customers, that's another thing altogether.
Right. Okay. So I'm going to go back to my other list questions and stuff.
Quick question. What's the coolest, most unusual reason you ever saw anybody give for doing a sale? Other than like the flood sale, fire sale thing. Anything come to mind?
Well, first of all, let me give you a mundane one that almost everybody can use. Then I'll give you the weird one. So the mundane one is the upsell that occurs at the cash register or on the phone or engineered into the website.
Okay.
So if you buy from Blair, which is a mail order clothing company, fairly inexpensive stuff.
Okay.
So like there's stuff you or I would not want from Blair, but I have a couple things they make that I like, and I buy sometimes clothes from Blair for like working people at the track.
Okay.
Candidly, that flannel line shirt, not of a quality that I would want to wear, but it's actually of a better quality than those 6 guys would buy for themselves. And it's a fine Christmas gift, therefore. I probably buy from Blair, I don't know, 3 times a year.
Okay.
Place that order by phone. Once you have finished, the operator will read the discount upsell script, which will either be because you fill in the blank, because you just purchased 3 items, because your total purchase is over $100. You can have any item in the catalog you like at 25% off. Add it to your order. Like to add something. Or it will be more specific, and it will be something they're having trouble selling or they're overstocked on. Right? So because you fill in the blank, you can have up to 3 of the flannel shirts on page 7 at 25% off. Open your catalog to page 7 and see whether you would like to add 1, 2, or 3 of these to your order. That's as mundane as you can get, but just about everybody can use some version of it.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's extremely effective. Now, the weird that you wanted, there's a couple I can't tell you. Inappropriate for broad public conversation. Other than the red herring strategy, guess the weirdest I've ever seen is the
You still there?
Yeah, I'm there. I don't have a great answer for you.
Just give me top of mind. Or give me the dirty ones and we'll cut it out. Woohoo!
No. I can't do those. But I don't really have a good answer for you.
Okay. All right. So going back, I had a list of cool stuff. Let me see. Personalizing, other reasons, sales, good, bad, pitfalls, mistakes, any other, you know, other than training people how to, or training people, conditioning people to wait for the sale, which is probably the cardinal biggest mistake. Any other pitfalls or mistakes with sales that we need to avoid like the plague?
Well, if you can, you want to avoid putting things on sale that you sell a lot of at retail.
Gotcha.
You want to try and use sales, push people into things that you are overstocked on, things that you trouble selling, things that have good back end. They get repurchased if somebody tries them once. They have recurring revenue, but they're hard for you to sell up front. So you want to avoid, when you can, putting on sale things that
would sell anyway.
That you sell a lot of at your retail prices.
Okay. So let me ask you this about the actual structure of sale itself. Money off versus percentage off versus buy one, get one versus bring a friend. Any thoughts on the actual structure of the sale in different circumstances and stuff?
So, not really. You know, the force bring a friend thing is interesting. It works in some businesses, it doesn't work in others. Sometimes it happens organically. You don't really have to do it. Like if you're in the restaurant business and you do your birthday this month and get dinner for $1. Hardly anybody's coming along. The other stuff, buy one, get one at half off. I don't think any one of those structures is really any better or worse than the other.
Okay.
In some cases, their economics are better or worse for you. And you've got to pay attention to that. But from an advertising and marketing standpoint, I don't think one is necessarily better than the other. There is languaging to consider. So 50% off versus half off. More people understand half than understand 50%. Actually by a significant margin.
Okay.
And two for the price of one, in many cases, will outpull half off.
Okay.
There is copywriting, sales language to consider. Really aren't changing the structure of what you're doing necessarily, but it's how you say it. It's how you present it that matters.
Okay. And last question on all of this, what are your feelings or thoughts or advice on a sale or discount when a customer or a prospect takes a certain action, like, you know, they buy a certain amount, they sign up for a mailing list or sign up for social media, or they buy in a certain way? So it's the discount or sales based on customer behavior as opposed to just being out there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So again, I think it's dangerous. And I think you have to consider that when you do it. So like you see almost all the fast food places, Domino's started it, where you're getting a discount for ordering online.
Right.
Rather than calling them or walking in. And from their standpoint, they're doing it as much out of what they perceive as necessity as anything else, right? They got serious labor shortages, and they really can't afford to have anybody answering the phone. They're paying more for each body they have there making pizza and putting boxes together, and they got to recover that money somewhere. So not paying somebody to answer the phone is part of the solution to that problem. Everybody now prefers that the customer does their own data entry, if for no other reason than this is overall labor cost. However, A, you run the risk of pissing off people who now see that they are being overcharged because they don't want to do business that way. B, you run the risk of really destroying your retail pricing, period. So what your online price is becomes your price. Nobody will pay anything more than that. C, sacrifice some upsell opportunity. I know it can be replicated online, and yes, it should be, but that's often not as effective as is the human being, even when the human being is mediocre at it, not great at it. So there are considerations when you do this. Now, the one-time reward for a behavior, either gift or sale, is a different situation. So if you want somebody to join the rewards program or follow you on social media, not just once, but five times, or put a picture up of them wearing one of your hats, or, you know, et cetera, join the birthday club and give you their birthday information. You want to reward that with a discount voucher. Here's a token for 50% off on anything in the IZ department of the store. You want to reward them with an outright gift. That I have no problem with.
Okay.
But when you're monkeying with recurring behavior, starting to divide your customers into how they are willing to have business with you, but you have to be careful, thoughtful about what you are losing, not just what you are gaining.
That makes perfect sense. Perfect sense. And not, and another big thing, just to wrap it up, one of the things that you said that was the biggest thing is any sale you do is sacrificing future earnings for today's dollars. That was a big thought. So that came across to me. You're sacrificing future stuff for a payoff today. So make sure it's worth it, that you're not, you know, slashing your own throat next month.
Well, next that's year. Right. That's exactly right. And look, there's situations where, like, you have really good salespeople. And so if you discount all the suits in the store at 50% off, this weekend only, but your salespeople are really good and they're going to sell two shirts and two ties and a pair of shoes at retail,
right,
to go with the suit, right? Now you are making a financial calculation very differently than if you don't have really good salespeople,
right,
or the sale is occurring without that human involvement. And you're not going to sell an average of two shirts, two ties, and a pair of shoes with every suit.
Right. So it's like anything else. You got to look at a sale as a tool, just that we're right back to where we started. It's a tool. And you're either going to use it right or you're going to cut your own fingers off. It's up to you.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, like anything else, there are principles, there's strategies, and there's tactics, right? And the principles are the eternal truths, if you will, about promotional pricing and about sale of the century don't change. And they haven't changed, like, ever, and they ain't going to change. The strategies give you a little more wiggle room, but you really have to think strategically, not just tactically. You have to think long-term, not just short-term, about what you're doing with this tool.
Right.
You've been listening to one of our Gold Members Only podcasts. Make sure you upgrade and become a Diamond member and get access to the Diamond Members Only podcast as well. On top of that, you'll also get access to the whole enchilada with all dance courses and so much more. So make sure you upgrade to Diamond now by going to diamondupgrade.com.